Hey, this morning we're in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 9 through 31. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like merchants, ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion of her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands, and she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, the reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her house is known, her husband is known in the gates where he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strengthen and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuous, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
All right, so Mother's Day is, I know, difficult for some and easy for others. But it is a day that we've come forward to honor the women who have given birth, adopted, lost, raised up, all sorts of things. We know it's tough for some people because mothers, like some fathers, have not been worthy of the praise and honor. And that's why I mentioned those who have been mother figures, because some of them have taken that role, whether it was an aunt or a neighbor or someone. And so we need to honor them. When we look at women, they are the interesting part of the human species. Why? They are stronger than men, whether you believe that or not. They do have the strength to childbirth. In fact, doctors have said the pain endured in childbirth would make a man go insane. I remember one comedian being asked how childbirth was. She said it was like taking your bottom lip and pulling it over your head. So we have to sit here and honor you for your strength. Even in the Gospel of John, we see where Jesus honors his mother while he is up on the cross. He knows that as the son, the oldest son, he must give her care to another, and knowing what would happen to his brothers, being that he was God, he gives her care to the beloved disciple, John, and honors her in that way. And the scriptures tell us that from that day forward, John took her and Mary lived in his home. So when we sit here and we look at how this day should be celebrated, I think it's an interesting point that we look at the gospel, well, the book of Proverbs, which is one of the wisdom literatures. We look at what King Lemuel says as he highlights what he learned from his mother. And so today being Mother's Day, and I know that some are going to dinners and have plans and stuff. This is typically a shorter service. It is more of a meditation, if you will, but there's still stuff to learn. And what I've done is, rather than number these points 1 to 3, I'm counting down 3 to 1. Because these are the interesting things, I think, that jump out at the text that Lemuel wanted us to notice. Number 3 is this: her husband understands her worth. Verses 10 through 12. It says right there, it says, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of grain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. And we think about that. We think about how many husbands there are in this world. Men who may go off and fight in wars. Men who go on business trips. They leave their wives and children home alone. And the wife has to sit there and work through the finances, work through everything. And he comes home to a home that is well-adjusted. He comes home to a home that is taken care of. He comes home to a home where everything is well taken care of. She knows. And it's something that I think we when we read the scriptures and we read about how the older women are to mentor the younger women, a lot of younger women do not understand this. They don't understand the things that they should do. And a lot of older women sit there and they come to understand a lot of what younger people today lack. In fact, you know, you think about this. There is no home economics classes taught anymore in high school. And that's a sad point. That's a sad thing. It's something that we need to understand, that the older women need to come forward and need to mentor. They have wisdom beyond their years, and they need to come forward and say, hey, listen, you know, how are you doing with this? Talk to them. If you have that concern for somebody, for a younger woman, I would argue that that's the Holy Spirit, you know, pushing you to help mentor that person, to help push that person along. When we read this scripture, we see that she knows how to care for the husband. She knows how to care for the children. And this goes forward because the first ministry God ever created was the family. He created Adam and Eve, and the first command was, go and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. So the first ministry is always the family. It doesn't matter. You're all called to ministry. If you're married and you have kids, that's your ministry. And how are you ministering? Then we look at this. In verse 28, they in turn honor her. It says in verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. They understand that there is no amount of money. Think about this. Those of us who have lost our mothers, how many of us have felt that pain and loss because we knew that we lost someone so great in our lives, so influential in our lives? This is what this verse is. We rise up, we honor them. We rise up, we call them blessed. And this is what Lemuel is saying. He's pointing this out, and this points back to the fifth commandment. When we look at the fifth commandment, in Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God is giving you. We think about that. We're honoring. We're coming forward and we're honoring our mothers, our mother figures, our grandmothers. Maybe even some our great-grandmothers today. Why? Because they are worthy of that honor. That is what God tells us. That's why we do this. A lot of people sit there and argue that today is a Hallmark day. You know, it's a made-up day, so Hallmark can make money on cards. But I would argue that it is a biblical day. It is a holy day. We see what the first ministry is, and so why would we not want to honor those who have given us unconditional love? And that's what this unconditional love has done. We see that she is using what she has. She buys for her family. She looks after them. She knows how to buy. She knows how to shop. How many of us remember growing up? All right, I don't know. I might be aging myself a little bit here, but how many of us grew up with secondhand clothes sometimes? Quite a few. You know, I'll say this. I remember going and having Kmart kickers as the kids made fun of me. Kmart kickers because they weren't Nike or Reebok or Converse or any one of the name brands. But I will tell you, my mother bought because she knew we didn't have much. My parents put me through Christian school. They sacrificed. And my mother would always go with my grandmother to Sally's. For those of you who don't know what Sally's is, that's Salvation Army. Sally's, Amvets, Goodwill. And it'd be funny, I'd be wearing Kmart kickers, but I'd sometimes have some name brand Levi's jeans and stuff. Why? Because she went, she found the good bargains. And that's what it's saying here in this scripture. She knows how to buy for her family. She knows how to treat them. She knows how to get the best for the value of the money that is there. And you think about it, you laugh, you know what it's like to sit there and be made fun of for having hand-me-downs, and yet right now we look at the world and the world's all about going to, you know, vintage, as they call it, vintage stores and picking up that stuff. The one thing that we get is that there's nothing wrong with wearing secondhand clothes. It is the love of our mothers. The love for their families that chooses to do this. Number two is this: she knows how to sacrifice. Verse 15. She rises up while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. It's interesting because in this day and age, we don't know really what our grandparents and some of our parents went through. We hear the stories, but it's always interesting. It's always interesting to hear those stories and hear what it was like. Because today, you know, and I've said this before, today you want a burger real fast, real cheap, you can go down to McDonald's and get it for a couple of bucks in 5 minutes. And it's not going to satisfy you, but it'll scratch an itch. But our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, they knew what it was like to sacrifice. They knew what it was like. In WW2, World War II, we saw a different breed of woman come forward. As the men went off to fight the war, women went to work. And as women went to work, families came together. Grandparents came to raise their grandchildren while the mother worked to put food on the table. And that wasn't enough, because the one thing about World War II that we never really study is that there was food rationing going on. And the food rationing, you got food stamps. And those were points. Wasn't food stamps like we have today. These were points. And so if you wanted to have, like, bacon, you had to pay 7 points. You had to have 7 points to give along with the 30 cents that it normally cost. And if you didn't have the 7 points, you, even though you had the 30 cents, you could not buy the bacon. And so mothers learn to sacrifice. Mothers learn to make new things to kind of satisfy that itch. But in many cases, they might have had some to buy a little. And at that time, there were families of 4, 5, 6, 7, even 8 kids. And so food was scarce. Mothers were working to make ends meet. Some of these mothers were even working 2 jobs. So that way there, they'd still have the roof over the head. But this one story comes to mind of what it means for a mother's love, a mother's sacrifice, what he's talking here about. His mother worked at a factory during World War II, and she would get the points, and she would save up. And she wanted her children to be as healthy and as strong as they could be. And so she would come home, make their meal late at night, and while they were enjoying the meat and the vegetables and the fats and the proteins that were all rationed off, she sat in the corner, smiling, thanking God for her kids, while eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's the type of mother that Lemuel is telling us needs to be honored, needs to be understood, needs to be glorified and lifted up and praised to God and call her blessed. Because there are mothers who sit there and would rather just see their kids eat peanut butter and jelly while they eat the meat. And the one thing that medicine tells us today is that a child that is eating a proper diet, their brains work better. They get better grades. And too many kids in schools today, they're suffering. Why? Because we have all these processed foods and stuff. And it's not what it was. It's understanding that sacrifice is needed. The last point is this. Number one, the most important, she values her relationship with God. We look at Proverbs 30 and 31 for this. It says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates." This is what we know. She knows that all she does for her family is to the glory of God. She will sacrifice. She will get up early and make them the meals to get them going in the morning. But most of the time what they will first do is open up the Bible, read, and pray. Pray for their day, not their day, not mom's day, but her kid's day, her husband's day. She will come forward and lift him up and praise and honor God. We look at this verse, and the verse tells us that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. What that tells us is that you can't judge a person's heart. You know, you can't judge them by their looks. God looks at their heart. And that's what God said about David. Samuel comes in. Hey, who's the king? Oh, it's this guy. No, it's this guy. No, it's this guy. No. When he sees David walk in, he's like, "This can't be him." And God says, "You're looking outside. I'm looking inside." It's the same thing for mothers. A lot of mothers, you know, they'll tell you jokingly, "Oh, before the kids were born, I was beautiful." Well, if the husband really loves his wife, he still sees her as beautiful. No matter how many kids she's born. No matter what she looks like. And that's the husband being the imitation of God. God looks at the heart. God looks to see what's inside. Probably the most important story in the Bible about looks and women and heart is the story of Jacob with Rachel and Leah. Jacob is out there and he's looking to have a wife, you know, to call a wife, and he sees Rachel, who's his cousin, who at the time it was fine. So, you know, I know that gets kind of, But here was the thing. He sees Rachel. This is his cousin. And he's like, "Who, mama? I wants." And so he goes to his uncle Laban and says, "I will work for you, for her, me strong." And Laban doesn't tell him the truth. So Jacob works 7 years. He's all sitting there like, "Ooh, I've got a beauty. Ooh," you know. Wedding day happens. The veiled bride comes down. And it's Leah. The Bible says Leah was not that pretty. And there's some debate over that. There's some debate that she wasn't really a plain Jane. We look at this and it tells us that she was. It could be because Scripture, when we study it, it tells us that she had weak eyes, meaning she probably cried a lot. She probably prayed to God a lot for a husband, because one of the things that we learn outside of Scripture, one of the traditions within Jewish tradition, is that she was supposed to be for Esau. And she didn't like Esau. And so she prayed to God continuously for a husband. And so happened that she gets the second best guy, Jacob, the liar, the thief. But here's the point of this. Even though things will work out, and Jacob, you know, at the time, polygamy was allowed in the Bible, and he ends up marrying Rachel. How many children did Rachel have? Two. She had Joseph and Benjamin. Leah had half of Jacob's sons, including, she became the mother of priests, the Levites, Levi, and she became the mother of kings through Judah, meaning that God chose her to carry on the line to Jesus. God chose the plain Jane because he knew what her heart really was. So we look at this and we see, in closing, how important it is to honor mothers. We might not always understand our mothers. We might not always agree with them. You know, I can remember arguing with my mother because I wanted something, but my mother knew best. Listen to your mother, Alex. You too, Wes. Moms know best. Moms love us. Even when we screw up, they love us. Why? Because there is this thing called unconditional love that they give us. And that is, in turn, them showing Christ's love to us. Christ's unconditional love. Christ's unconditional love that sent him to the cross to die for us. And so when we come forward on this day to give praise, give honor, we're giving a worship, not to our mothers, but to God. We're thanking him for them. We're thanking God for our grandmothers, our aunts, our godmothers, the woman across the street that used to give you lemonade on the hot summer day. Why? Because there's love there. And God says it's worthy of honor. It's worthy of praise. It's worthy of coming forward and saying, "Thank you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can honor those who have come before us, those who we love and we cherish. And I just thank you. I thank you for my mother, my grandmothers, my wife, her mother and grandmothers, as they have all shaped us. And so, Father, I thank you for the mothers, grandmothers, motherly figures, for all these people gathered here who shaped them. And we ask that you would be honored and glorified. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.